Lord, I think I'm the only one. Of course, God then reminds Elijah, I have 300 other prophets that have not bowed the knee to Baal either. So Elijah really wasn't alone, but he felt alone. Listen, you're not alone. You feel like you're alone, but you're not alone. You're never alone. If you're a child of God, you are never alone. No matter what, I can blanket statement, no matter what situation you find yourself in, you're never alone. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're not alone. So Elijah thought he was alone. He didn't think he had a friend in the world. He was the only believer left in all of Israel. None of those things were true, but that's what he thought. You think that you're alone, you're not alone. You don't think you have any friends, you have friends. The people of God love you and will reach out to you and support you and help you the best they possibly can. And listen, you're not the only one who believes in Jesus today. It may seem like it. And they're doing a pretty good job of saying, no, these Christians, Jesus, these Christian people, they're just an anachronism. They're like a dinosaur. They're roaming around, but they're really dead. No. Not at all. So Elijah feels like he's alone. Feels like he doesn't have any support whatsoever. Feels like that the whole burden of proof for God is on his shoulders. It's really not. But we feel that way too. In fact, we can read before and we can read after, can't we? We can see Elijah's response before Mount Carmel. And we can see Elijah's response after Mount Carmel. You see, what God was just about to do in Elijah's life was to bring about this great test in Israel. You kind of remember that? When Elijah came to Mount Carmel and had this little, hey, I'll tell you what, the God who answers in fire, let him be God. Does that sound reasonable to you people? And, of course, the prophets of Baal said, sure, we've invented a Zippo lighter. We're ready for you. Well, you know what happened. Actually, Elijah taunts them. So his faith is pretty good. His faith is well. And, of course, then God not only answers by fire, he consumes what? The offering. He consumes the rocks and the dirt and the water and everything that there is. And the people of God, then, what happened to them? We're on your side, Elijah. Before, they were just milling around. But now we're for you, buddy. Listen, that's generally what happens. Now, if I stop there, I would be doing a disservice because actually, just a few days later, Elijah gets a little note from this wonderful queen. Her name is Jezebel. How many of you named your children after her? Oh, she's not such a nice person, is she? And he gets a little note. And he opens it up and says, oh. She says, listen, I'm going to make you as dead as my prophets were the other day tomorrow. And he flees, doesn't he? Elijah flees. You see, it happens every day. It's not a forever settled issue in your life or my life. We always have to remember that we're not alone. That God is with us. That indeed all our needs, all the things that we face, every obstacle we face, they're still in God's hands. Even when the queen sends you a note and says, I'm going to make you as dead as a doornail tomorrow, you best get out of town. God's still in charge. He's in charge of your life too. Don't have a job, don't have this, don't have that. Okay, gotcha. You're saying, Brother Mike, do you know of any place? Not really. But I know God. And God can meet your need. He can meet your need in every situation. Have you ever faced something that was so frightening, it just almost paralyzed you? I wish I could say that I'm just the most courageous person on earth. I'm just really not. You know, it's coming up on deer hunting season here a little bit. I've got some stands out. Brother Boyd and I Got some stands out. And so we'll be trying to go hunting here, not too distant future. But those are tree stands. They're up for about 15 feet. And so Brother Boyd will scamper up one of those stamps, those stands like a squirrel. I will go easy, checking it out all the way. When I get up to the top, I'll grab a hold of the tree. Seems like it's okay. And I'll sit down. And along about the end of hunting season, I'm starting to get comfortable at 15 foot off the ground. I'm a scaredy cat. Is there anything in your life that just has come up and scared you? I remember one time I told you about that years and years ago. I woke up in the middle of the night and I thought that something was going on. And I went to the hallway and I peeked around the corner and I saw this most frightening, terrible monster standing in the hallway. Now, before I turned that corner, I thought to myself, I'm just, you know, if it's a thief or an intruder or something like that, I'm just going to wrestle him down and, you know, beat the stew out of him. He shouldn't come in my house. But when I went around that corner and I saw this terrible thing, I jumped back. My heart was racing. I know there wasn't any sense trying to wake up my wife. And so I peeked around the corner. We've got mirrors at the end of the hall. And what I saw was me. It is a scary thing. A scary thing. Listen, have you ever come in contact with something, some obstacle, something that just scared you? I mean, you know, your heart gets to running. You're wondering, well, how am I going to do this, Lord? I don't know. But Paul says, look, God has given us examples of this. Here we have a little 15, 16-year-old boy who's a shepherd. He comes with a Kentucky Fried Chicken to his brothers who are on the battlefield. And they're facing the Philistines. And there's this big, huge guy. Some commentator says 9'6" or 10 foot tall or whatever. I don't know about you. That's a big guy. That's a big guy. And he's out parading around up and down the battlefield saying, hey, isn't there anybody over there on the side of Israel who will come out and fight me? And all of them were just cowering, weren't they? And David comes with a lunch for his brothers. And he hears this guy. And of course, the guy's name was Goliath. He crosses the line, doesn't he? He's not just simply taunting Israel, but then he begins to do what? Taunt the God of Israel. And David didn't say in a news publication beforehand, if you cross this line, I'm going to take action. He just heard it. He said, that's enough of that. Who's going to go out there and silence that guy? Saul says, Saul, who was head and shoulders above everyone in Israel. He's a big guy, too. I don't know how tall he was. He's a big guy, too. He says what to David? Want my armor? Here's mine. David said, I don't need that stuff. I've got a slingshot. You see, he met this ferocious guy called Goliath. And he met that Goliath in the things that he knew best. The things he'd already seen God bless him in. He was a shepherd and he killed a bear and a lion with his slingshot. And so he goes out and he took 5 stones. He said, he didn't really think he could do the job with one. No, actually, you need to read a little bit further along in Numbers. You'll find out that Goliath had 4 brothers. So David just thought, I'll just wipe out the whole bunch right now. If that's what it takes. So he goes out there, whack, boom, he falls. He faced Goliath. Have you ever come upon something that just really terrified you? Trust in the things that God has already proven himself in. And he will deliver you. He will bring it about a satisfactory conclusion, you see, to that event. in David's life. Oh, have you ever been treated unfairly? You know, maybe you've been working hard at work and the other guy, he's drinking coffee and he's out shooting the breeze and, yeah, you know, what does he do? Does he work here? And he gets the promotion because he's that guy's brother-in-law or something like that. You find out that later, of course. Have you ever been treated unfairly? Sure you have. If you say no to that, then, you know, I don't know what to, get you a piece of paper, write that down, because the Lord will convict you before you leave this place this morning. You sure you have? Unfairly. Everybody faces that all the time. There was a guy in the Bible called Joseph. And his brothers didn't like him very much. For good reason. His dad showed him partiality. Listen, guys, don't do that. But his dad did. And so they got tired of that. They got tired of him coming and telling them all kinds of cool things. You know, hey, guys, I just had a dream last night. Da, 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 da. So they thought, well, let's just kill him. Judah said, don't kill him. Put him in the pit. The Midianites came along. They sold him. He ends up in Egypt. He ends up in Potiphar's house. Actually, he starts doing pretty good. Until he has a run-in with Potiphar's wife. He was totally innocent in his brother's eyes and before Potiphar. But yet he was sent to jail. That's unfair, don't you think? You know, the guy, the lunatic who's got the blood dripping off his hands and he's got the big machete. You know, he just whacked up 14 people. I didn't do it! Listen, Joseph didn't do it! He was innocent. He was being treated unfairly. But God reversed that thing, didn't he? And not only did he reverse it for Joseph, but he reversed it in the way that he had revealed to Joseph that he was going to use him to bring blessing to Israel and to the whole world for that matter. Listen, God has got a purpose for your life. Did you know that? He really does. You're saying, well, I'm just too old, or I'm too fat, or whatever. Too skinny. I'm a woman, and that's a man's job, or that's a man, and I'm a job. I don't know, whatever it is. We can come up with a million excuses. God's got a purpose for your life. What is it? Maybe it's to be that good grandparent you're supposed to be and help raise those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Maybe it's just that. Maybe it's using that gift of teaching, whatever it is, to impart, as we talked about teaching last time, to impart and instill the values and the principles of the Word of God in other children so that they will go on and they will be that kind of hero, that kind of godly man or woman that we need to come in this next generation. Maybe it's just that, but that's not just a just. That's wonderful. Listen, God can make it right. He doesn't make it right instantly, but he makes it right. You say to yourself, well, Brother Mike, you don't know what kind of crisis that I'm facing. I'm just facing a terrible crisis in my life. Nothing new, friend. How about Daniel? Did he face any crises? You say, well, you don't know. I've lost my job, and they're getting ready to take my car and my house and my groceries, and I don't know what I'm going to do for putting my kids in school. Just name it, crisis, all those kind of things. Has anybody tried to throw you in the lion's den lately? You say, yeah, that's it. Gotcha. Daniel used a little used tool, but a powerful tool to effect change around him. He prayed. And he wouldn't stop praying. Matter of fact, that got him in trouble because he just kept on praying. But God brought about the desired effect. That's why we talk about Daniel today. Because he persevered in prayer. He wouldn't let it go. You say, well, Brother Mike, you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what kind of trials in my life. You don't know the kind of difficulties. And I don't. Maybe facing death today. You're saying, boy, that's a good way to end this service. Oh, you're going to end? Okay, good. All right. Yeah, I am. Yeah. You may be. The funny thing about that is that we don't seem to realize that that guy out there is facing death today. Did you know that? We don't get it. If the doctor tells you you have cancer, if the doctor tells you you have congestive heart failure, if the doctor tells you you have leukemia, then we're facing death. No. We're facing death every day of our life. You see, in life, there is death. But let me, I know someone who in life conquered death. And by placing our faith and trust in this person whose name is Jesus, that's why we're here today. This is Sunday. This is the first day of the week. You ought to go to work. What's wrong with you people? You're claiming Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're claiming that God interacted and interceded in history in the person of Christ and brought about this great promise. You see, I was just at a funeral here just last week, and Renee gave such a great testimony. She said at first when we heard that Ed was going to die, she says, I was angry. I thought it was unfair. My other brother had just died not too long before. That is a heavy burden, isn't it? But then she began to talk about her faith in Christ and turned the whole thing around. You see, we have a hope in Christ Jesus, who is Lord. And this hope tells us that when we step from this life, we don't just step into a hole in the ground. We don't just step into eternity, aimless, dark nothingness. We step from this life into life. If you thought this was sweet, and most of us do, that's why we cling to it so much, don't we? We grab a hold of those things, you know, and we hold them. You know, I saw this morning coming over here to church, I saw a guy coming down the street today in a 66 Tornado. Yeah. Me and Dennis, the only one know what that is. That was an Oldsmobile. And I thought to myself, man, he hung on to that thing, didn't he? We cling to that stuff. We think that that's what makes us who we are. It's our clothes, our house, our cars, our job. It's status and all those. If somebody knows your name, we think that that's all there is. And that's not all there is. Matter of fact, all that is going to be nothing. Paul said he counts it as what? Dung. For the excellency of the knowledge that's in Christ Jesus, who is Lord. Listen, I know somebody who promises everyone who places their faith and trust in him that they will step from this life into life eternal. And he didn't make an empty promise. People do that, don't they? There was a guy right here in Indiana not too many years ago, and he promised his followers, don't bury me because I'm going to resurrect myself. Yeah. Right over there in Warsaw. They kept him for about 2 weeks. But I know somebody. Remember what they said? We hoped that this was he who was going to redeem Israel. And today's the third day. Today's the third day. They're going from Jerusalem dragging, man. I'll tell you, this is terrible. Boy, oh boy, Jesus, who I thought was the Messiah, who I had thought God was going to answer all our prayers. He was going to deliver Israel. He's going to set us free and all those kinds of things. And they put him to death the other day. But it is the third day. You see, all hope was not gone. It was down to just a little flicker, but it was not gone altogether. And listen, we can get that far. That's okay, because God can still move in your life. He can break bread with you and pray with you and interact with you and commune with you, and you'll be lifted up. Hope. Hope. Hope in God. Hope in Jesus. I'd be here for weeks trying to give example after example after example that would fit your case. But I could do it. It's in there. Hope. Place your hope and your faith in Christ. Depend on Him. It's all right to rest in Him. Lord, this is it. I've got no other person. I can't turn from the right to the left anymore. I'm down to it. It's okay. God can handle that. It's all right. He's God. Matter of fact, maybe that's where He wanted to get you, so He could do something that would affect your life forever, and you'd be praising Him for the rest of your days. Not just earthly days, but the rest of your days. Hope. Place your hope in Jesus. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you have to begin at the beginning, don't you? You have to repent of your sins. Place your faith and trust in Christ. You've got to name Him as Lord. You have to pray that sinner's prayer. You have to receive Him as Lord of your life. If you haven't done that, listen, it's a hope against hope. Because you're not part of His forever family. But if you've settled that issue, then God, who cannot lie, has promised you eternal life. Whew. Father God, we just can't quite do it. We just can't quite get there. Words fail us with the magnificence and the awesomeness and the sweetness of your grace towards us. So bring us down to that place where we can depend upon You and do so unashamedly. When somebody asks, we'll just say, I've exhausted all my avenues, but I'm depending upon the Lord. That's okay. Been a good place to start, but it's okay to be there. Other decisions need to be made here this morning. I don't know, maybe right where we're at this morning. Maybe we're saying to ourselves, Lord, you know, my life's all messed up. I need You to be Lord of my life. I need You to direct me and guide me, clean me up, use me. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and there's a huge burden on you as how tomorrow, what tomorrow's bringing, it's got to be terrible. Trust that to the Lord. Trust that to the Lord. He's able. He's able. Father, we thank You. We pray that we as Your people would appropriate that marvelous and wonderful grace that brings us joy and peace in the midst of chaos. In a world like a speeding bullet blowing past every red light and every caution sign. But we have hope in Christ. For it's in His precious name we pray.